The Daily Witness is not just a podcast, but originally started as a gospel newspaper. Trevor van Vieren Ministries distributes this newspaper free of charge, paid for by partners and friends. If you have not received a copy of this newspaper in your mailbox, feel free to download a copy from our website, www.thedailywitness.co.za. And now, enjoy today's podcast.
Before we jump into today's message, have you been enjoying these podcast episodes from The Daily Witness? Would you like more? Consider subscribing to The Daily Witness on YouTube for video content and for our Wednesday evening live streams, which takes place at 6:30. We also stream from the Telegram app at the same time. For word, quotes, ministry updates and more, follow us on social media. The Daily Witness is on X, Instagram and Threads. Faith is what connects us to the Father. So remember, faith comes by hearing. So keep on hearing.
The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 verse 6, "Let him that receives instruction in the word of God share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support." Trevor van Vieren Ministries now has Yoko as a payment portal for safe and secure transactions, both for national and international givers. So if you'd like to tithe into this ministry, or you'd like to sow a financial seed, head on over to our website www.thedailywitness.co.za and click on the Giving tab. All contributions that are received goes into furthering the gospel by reaching the lost and training people to live by faith.
As you know, late last year, we prayed. Why do we pray? Well, we want direction from the Holy Ghost. We want to know which way to go forward regarding his people, because he knows his people way better than I even know them. And I can hang out with them. I can have a meal with them. I can sit down and have a cup of coffee with them. We can sit and chat for hours, week after week after week. But you know what? The Holy Ghost, in the Hebrew tongue, the Ruach HaKodesh, he knows each and every individual so well, inside and out. And he knows what's the most important thing to focus on.
Thank you, Lord.
So, we were praying. And as you know, we were praying over a period of time just to make sure that we've heard right. And the Lord said, teach them on intimacy with me. And it made so much sense, because so many people actually don't have that one-on-one relationship with the Lord.
They're so far from him.
Yeah.
He's like, he's still a mythical creature.
And I see it so clearly. And you know, a couple of years ago when we had our service at Long Park, we were doing an awesome series on faith. You know, and you can still find it on our YouTube channel. It's there. And it's a really good message. And the Lord spoke to me and he said to me, this is a really good message.
Yeah.
But he said, it means nothing without me.
Yeah.
And I remember him saying that, and I thought to myself, wow, you know.
Yeah, he said, I'm not in it.
He said, I'm not in it. And I was like,
that was a wake up call. What do you mean you're not in it?
Yeah. And he said, these principles are accurate. They're true. They will get results. But it'll be very limited for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And he said, because you can't have faith in someone you don't know. And I clung to that. Because why? We are living in a time where situations crop out of nowhere. And a medical aid can't fix it. A doctor can't fix it. A Fortune 500 company can't fix it. There's a lot of things that this world comes short in.
Yes.
And they paint themselves out to be beautiful. And they paint themselves out to be the final answer. But when you really need help, I mean the deepest of the deep, you come to find out all of those, call it, attributes out there, they come very, very short.
You'll find out that the world out there is very selfish. They're after gain.
Yeah.
Where God is selfless. And yeah, he's always thinking about your gain.
Yes, he is. And so I clung to that word that he gave, and I never let it go. And it just sat with me. And then as time progressed now, the Lord said, this is it, 2025. Get the people to know me.
Mm.
And so that's what we're doing. And we're going to talk about experience as well. It's, you know, it's so important that you have experience. Go on.
I'm just thinking about the word because, you know, even before 2025 started, I was like going, 2025, the year to come alive. And then it happened to be the word for the year.
Yeah.
And you're thinking about the fellowship part, fellowshipping with life.
Yeah.
He is life.
Yeah.
You need to build a relationship with life himself so that you can experience life.
That's the word, experience.
Yes.
So,
because that's what we're going after. Experiences.
Experience.
With him.
It changes everything. Now, for my note takers, go to John chapter 17 and verse 3. And we're going to open up in that verse of scripture. That's our text for the series. And I'm reading, and this is life eternal. Before I do that, let me just brief you for those who haven't heard and maybe they got sidetracked or whatever the case may be. When people hear about salvation and they hear about getting born again and they hear the word eternal life, unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians that give the misconception that this is eternal life, that you become saved and you go to heaven when you die. Okay? And what we spoke about in the introduction of this series, we said, nope, that is not it at all. Because what happens when a wicked person dies?
Mm.
What happens? When a wicked person passes away, they continue living.
Yes.
They just step out of their body. You see, everyone...
Because it's just your body that dies.
Everyone is so focused on the physical body. They're so focused on everything they see. But if you go and look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it tells us that you are a spirit first,
yes,
then a soul, and then a physical body. And then we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, hey, guess what? To be absent from the body, talking to believers, is to be in the presence of the Lord. So there's no little waiting area that some people surmise. I've come across a lot of that. You know, people just make up things as they go along. And then it just satisfies them and they're happy with it. Hey, get some scripture on it.
Mm.
You're not the architect of heaven. You're not the architect of life.
Yeah.
So don't make up stuff and expect us to believe it. So the scripture says to be absent from the bodies to be in the presence of the Lord.
Mm.
So what happens to the wicked? To be absent from the bodies in to be in the presence of hell.
Yeah, wow.
You carry on living there. That is not eternal life, guys.
No.
That is not eternal life.
That's eternal damnation.
You continue living outside of your body. Your body is only temporary.
Mm.
You understand? So when it comes to eternal life, let's listen to what the King of Kings has to say. The Alpha and the Omega, in the Hebrew, the Aleph and Tov, the captain of our salvation, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, our high priest, Yeshua HaMashiach. What does he say? What is the definition of eternal life? You got to get it right. Here's eternal life. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That is what eternal life is. Eternal life is to know him.
Oh, John 17:3.
Yeah. God says, you can know me. I've heard people say this. Oh, you can never know God. Excuse me? You just told me inadvertently you don't read your Bible. But God is saying you can know me. And in fact, that is eternal life. Now, we looked at the definition of know in the Greek. And it means gnosko. Okay? In the Greek, it's gnosko. What does it mean? It means to know him by experience.
Wow.
You can actually know God by experience. And when you do that, that will ultimately affect your faith.
Yes.
You need faith to overcome this world.
The more real he is to you, the more it affects your faith.
There you go. Because a lot of people, and we discussed this in the first episode, a lot of people are trying to use the tools of faith without knowing the tool maker.
Yeah, that's good.
Ugamichum breganishta. That was for me. Thank you, Lord. You cannot use the tools without knowing the tool maker, because he's going to show you how those tools work. And in order for him to show you how those tools work, you've got to have a relationship with him. Mm. You've got to actually know him. And you've got to do it by experience. Amen?
Amen.
And we look at, let me tell you something. Yeah, the anointing. Megan got a message just a moment ago before church started. And this woman, she's been away for a while. And Megan got a message from her. And she said, she lives in a different town. And she said they went to a church. And these people played music for like 45 minutes. And she told Megan the first thing that stood out to her was, number one, she says, I remember a podcast with Trevor and Andrew where they said, you know, worship has its place. It has its place.
Yeah.
But if the whole church service is only an hour and a half, why are you taking half of that time to sing?
Mm-hmm.
Because the word doesn't say that faith comes by hearing, hearing by worship music.
No.
The most Jesus didn't say, I sent my worship song and it healed you. I mean, don't get me wrong. Yes. I'm not against worship. I love music.
But the word is for first place.
The word. It doesn't say the worship song became flesh and dwelt among us. Who? Let that sink in.
Yeah.
Can you see the emphasis on the word? And she said, it was too long, because they're trying to worship God in their own strength. They don't know him.
I sometimes think they just try to fill time as well.
Oh, yeah. So she said, and then when the guy preached, she said there was no anointing. She recognized the anointing on Megan and myself. She said, man, you guys are anointed. You know, when you have something that's good and then you go somewhere else, all of a sudden you realize what you missed.
Mm.
Now, what is the anointing? Let me tell you, plain and simple. It's the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
It's him. It's the Holy Ghost. That's who the anointing is. It's the Holy Ghost. Now, how does the anointing come on someone? Well, first of all, you've got to be called. That's number one. You can't call yourself. You know that. We've been through those scriptures before. But the anointing increases when you get into the presence of God and you come to a place where you actually know him. One of the things that we're really enjoying now at this time is we're reading through the Old Testament. Many of you are following. And what stands out is you see especially Moses, how he starts this relationship with God. He's becoming intimate with the Lord.
Mm.
And you see right in the beginning when he goes and he sees Pharaoh and he's got to go and talk to the leaders of Israel. And he tells them, God has sent me and he's going to deliver you. And God told him and said to him, listen, I'm going to make Pharaoh's heart hard. Yeah. Obviously, that must have went over Moses' mind.
Mm.
You know?
Yes, in the beginning it did.
Why? He didn't know him yet. So what happened next? Well, some things happened and Pharaoh just said plain out, no. He said straight out, no. I'm not letting them go. And so Moses gets cross, and, you know, he's even moaning here at the leaders. And the leaders said, yo, you said that God sent you to deliver us and so forth and so on. And he says, and it didn't happen. And even Moses turned to God and he says, Lord, these people are shouting at me. Pharaoh's making a mockery of me. You said that you were going to deliver the children of Israel. And he says, you haven't done it yet. You know? And so what are they learning? They're learning. Did God deliver them?
Yes.
Yes, he did deliver them. Is God faithful?
Yes.
Yes. They did not know that about him yet. See? That's something that to still learn. But time went on. And as time went on, guess what was happening? Moses and God were drawing closer and closer to each other.
I was trying to find the scripture that we read. I think it was yesterday morning or the morning before. Can't find it right now, but where he was, where God said, like, he chose Moses and he speaks mouth to mouth with Moses. The others, they have to go to the entrance of the tent of meetings and...
That's right.
But Moses, he was chosen and he could speak mouth to mouth with God. It shows that intimacy. They can communicate face to face.
That's right.
And that's what we have with him.
Now, very good point. Today, I mean, if you had to look, and those of you who were reading your Old Testament very carefully, you read about the tabernacle, okay? So you had the Holy of Holies, and then you had the inner court, and then you had the outer court. Nobody, nobody, except the high priest, and Moses, of course, the prophet, nobody could just walk on in there and talk to God. Listen, the high priest could only go in there once a year.
Yeah.
And Moses, the prophet, I mean, he had to. But you didn't have the privilege of going in and talking to him. I mean, it's just one of those things.
Yeah.
Now, watch this. If you were a little Israelite and you were sitting on the outside, you saw this amazing tabernacle, you saw the glory cloud descend and fall upon that place. You've seen people drop down dead because they got out of hand.
Yeah.
I mean, we read about it yesterday. I actually just want to quote that. Wow, man, you get a wake-up call about the holiness of God.
Well, if they read my post this morning, they would have seen some of that as well.
Yes, yes, some oaks that get together and they just decide, hey, who's Moses? Who's Aaron? And
who are they raising themselves up above them?
Yeah, Korah. The guy's name is Korah. Korah says, this God is with these people already.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He didn't know God.
No, he didn't.
But he's talking
As if
he knows him.
Yeah.
As if he's got some intimacy going on. We got a lot of Christians doing that today, speaking very boldly.
Yeah.
And correcting you.
Yes.
Can you believe it? This guy, I thought to myself, this boy got guts telling Moses and Aaron where to get off. He didn't know God.
No.
And he got 250 men. And they came along and Korah said, he got them to be against Moses and Aaron. And so Moses is like, watch this. Moses knows God. Moses says, every one of you, grab a censer and put a fire in it.
With incense.
With incense. So they do that. Wow, the fire came out and devoured them.
Yeah, it says it consumed them.
They just gone.
Yeah.
There, 250 men. What would you do if you're standing in that congregation and you see 250 men just drop like flies right in front of you?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then it's so amazing. I don't know if anyone else would see it, but I just not loved, but it says how those censers were They were flattened, straightened.
Yes.
And they were used as a memorial or a warning.
As a warning.
To the rest of the Israelites, yeah. And used on the altar of the of burnt offerings.
And then there was Dathan and Avram. All these guys dropped down dead. Just like that. And then after that, there was another oak there in the crowd. And he rose up and said, "Who do you think you are?" And Moses just said to him, "Let God do a new thing." Listen, this is Moses talking. Here's two guys fighting for position. Two guys, both of them are saying they know God.
Mm-hmm.
The one is Moses and the other guy, well, you know. He's sitting there at his tent. And the next second, the Lord says, "Tell everyone to get away from this guy and his tent. Don't even touch anything of theirs."
Yeah.
He says, "Lest you be consumed." And Moses says, "If this man had to die a normal death or he had to go another way," he said, "then I'm wrong. But if the ground had to open up right now and swallow him, let it be known that God has chosen me to lead this people." And right there... Because Moses knew the Lord right
yes.
there. I mean, I can imagine you hearing this rumbling. The
Moses
people
had been
ran
with him.
The people ran. The ground opened up and swallowed this man alive.
And his household and everything.
Yeah. Now, there the people start revolting and they get cross. God says this to Moses, get out of my way. Get out of my way. I'm going to consume them. Watch this. In a moment.
Yes.
Wow. He says, "I'm going to consume them in a moment." And Moses immediately, "No!" And he falls on his face. That is leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Now watch this. He immediately says to Aaron, "Aaron, grab censers and put a holy fire in it and incense and get between the people because the plague has begun." And so the people start dying. And Aaron jumps between the dead and the living.
Yeah.
And he quickly came back to the altar. Now watch this. 14,700 people died instantly.
Yeah. Because of the lack of the fear of God.
The lack of the fear of God. Now watch this. They should have just listened.
That's what pride does. You always think you know better.
Yeah. Now, this is what I wanted to say. The God of the Old Testament, a lot of people say, well, you know, God is different. God is different today. Excuse me?
He's not. Because the word says he doesn't change.
In the New Testament, it says that the wicked will still suffer his wrath.
Mm.
They'll still suffer his wrath. So the God of the Old Testament, the God that we are reading about, in the Old Testament, is still that way today, but guess what?
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
He sent Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You see, if you don't, this is what I'm talking about. If you don't read your Old Testament, you're not going to know who Jesus is in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to appreciate him that much because he's the buffer. He's the one that stands between God and us.
Yes, just like Aaron was.
Just like Aaron was.
Yes.
Jesus is the buffer. The scripture says Jesus took the wrath of God for us. God is still that way. Listen, but God needed to put his wrath somewhere. Why? He still loves you.
Yes.
But he can't tolerate sin. He can't tolerate sin, guys.
Yeah. Sin can't come near him. He'll consume it.
That's what he's trying to get across
yes.
to them.
That's why in the beginning with Moses, Moses said to him, "Show me your glory." And
yeah.
he said, "I can't show you my glory, but I'll hide you in the cliff behind my hand. And my goodness will pass before you. So you'll only see the back of God,
yeah.
you know. Because he said, I mean, Moses had sin on him. If he was in the presence of God, he would have died.
And it's not because God is itching to kill everyone.
No.
It's just because of the sin nature of the world.
Yes.
That's why Jesus explained it to us in the famous chapter, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world.
Yeah.
For God so loved the world. He loves us. But he can't justify your sin. Mm-hmm. You have to change.
Yes.
You have to be born again.
You have to come through Jesus.
Can you? I mean, I still cannot get over. And this is still talking about intimacy with God.
Mm.
He says, what is, thank you, Lord, so much. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You got to know God and you got to know Jesus Christ.
Mm. It's like we were talking this morning. We said, God is the destination, but
yes,
Jesus
is
the way.
He's the way.
You can't get to the Father except through Jesus.
Yeah.
So you can't eliminate either one of them.
Now, this is something I still, the humbleness of Jesus. What are we talking about here? I'm showing you something about him so that you can know him, so that you can appreciate him. Like, again, I'm telling you, you guys, you got to read your Bible. You got to read your Bible. It's the only way you're going to get to know him.
Yeah.
You're going to get to know his ways. You're going to learn things about his nature.
Mm. And like I've said in my post that I've been putting up since yesterday, you've got to read the Old Testament with glasses, with eyes of love. Otherwise, you are going to misinterpret the Old Testament and you're going to see God as this vengeful God. But if you just follow him and his purpose for everything and everything he stands for and how his aim is to protect his people, the love, you will just see the love of the Father. It's amazing.
Again, you can see, let's talk about Jesus.
Yes, please.
How humble this man is.
We were talking about it this morning as well.
He's God in the flesh. Get this. He's God in the flesh. Okay. He's performing these magnificent miracles and so forth. But so humble, he allows the Pharisees to say what they say. He didn't go and fight with them. He didn't go and shout at them. Even when they came to arrest him.
We don't know persecution. Jesus knows persecution.
They came to arrest him and he says, why are you coming with clubs and staves as if I'm a criminal? And Peter thinks he's doing good, you know. And Malchus comes in and Malchus comes for Jesus. It was the servant of the high priest at that time. And Peter pulls out his sword and he cuts off Malchus's ear. Now listen very carefully. Everyone quotes that. We only seen the end result, okay? People think it's in the middle of the night. There's torches, you know, those sticks. They dipped it in like a tar and like a fuel and they lit it up. That was their torch. There's no Eveready batteries. And, you know, it's in the dark. Peter did not take a sword and say to Malchus, whoop, chips. And there, he cuts off the man's ear in the dock. Come on, guys. He's not a marksman with his sword. He was going for the guy's head. Malchus saw it. Malchus saw it, and he moved. And at that moment, Peter just swung, and it cut off Malchus's ear. But look at the humbleness of Jesus. He picks up the guy's ear, and
he restores it.
He supernaturally super glues it back to the guy's head. It's amazing. And he tells the disciples,
No more nails.
Don't you know that I can call right now 12 legions of angels?
And how much was a legion again?
I think it was like 12,000.
Yeah, 12,000 angels. So 12,000 times 12.
Yeah.
144, no, what's, anyway, my mass is going to suck right now, but that's fine.
So he's telling them this. He goes into the courts. Before all of this, he's getting interrogated. The chief priest shouts at him. Jesus speaks. This guy slaps Jesus in the face. How dare you talk to the high priest like this? Listen, you just slapped God in the face.
Yeah.
How humble.
There's no coming back from
God.
That, hey?
How humble. Constraining himself. They pull on his beard. They make a crown of thorns and force it into his head. The blood starts coming down.
They spit in his face.
They spat in his face. That's right. They took a reed and slapped him.
Yes. And what about the that thing that they hit him with?
The cat of nine tails, yeah.
With the
39 stripes.
Yes. That had like little bones on the end.
That's right.
That would actually dig into your skin and they'd rip it open.
Just the way you would plow a field.
Yeah.
And they took that and they whipped it and it sunk into his flesh and then they pulled.
Yes.
Now, you can read about this in Isaiah 52, where it says that his visage was so marred and his form was unrecognizable. He didn't even look like a human being. He kept quiet all the time.
And then they still made him carry his own cross.
That's right. Humble. This is still God in the flesh. This is still God in the flesh. Okay?
And then he's on the cross, and the two guys that were next to him, they were mocking him and everything.
Yeah.
And with everything going on, the Lord, while he's hanging there, he still says, "Forgive them, Father."
That's it.
"They know not what they do."
That's it.
Can you imagine the amount of pain that he is going through? He knows what's still coming.
Now, my point is this. Jesus is the blueprint for us.
Mm.
We're supposed to be exactly like him.
Yeah.
And yet you find today Christians are not doing that.
No.
They're fighting.
They're highly offended warring, every 5 minutes.
They're cursing each other. They're insulting. They're nowhere near being humbled. Why? They don't know him. And they talk as if they do know him. How do you know all this stuff, brother? I read my Bible.
Yeah.
I read my Bible. And guess what? The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, talks to me. Mm. And he opens up my eyes. And he lets me see things. This is why I said to you, guys, read your Bible. Please. You will not look back. You won't regret it. We are at a place in our ministry right now where we are helping several people, one-on-one, several people. I'm busy throughout the day. I'm ministering to several people all the time. And guess what? We are seeing miracles. We are seeing a turnaround.
Mm.
You want to know why? Because I know him.
Yes.
I know him. I've told people that sat in a dark situation, it looks impossible, and I said, "Don't worry, I know him. He's faithful. He'll turn your situation around." And they are starting to see it.
Yes.
Now, how am I so bold to do such things? I spend time with him.
Mm.
I talk with him. I practice his presence. You understand?
Because even though you cannot see him with your natural eye, he is more real than we are.
Yeah. And so as I'm talking to him and we spend time praying in the Spirit, I've asked the Lord, I'm just sharing with you guys, the Lord has blessed us with a building. I'm so excited.
Yes. I know a lot of you that weren't on Tuesday night weren't online. And that was one of the things that we shared.
We've been blessed with a building. And we're going to go this Sunday and just chat with it's a proper church, and it's a beautiful church, a really lovely, lovely place, spacious inside and so forth. It's perfect.
Mm.
But that's the blessing of the Lord.
Yes.
You see, I know him.
Yes.
I know him. And he's come through for us, this parking and everything. And I said to him, "Father, one of the very first things I want to glorify you. I want people to see how real you are." And I said to him, "Show me. I want to know, how do I get the gifts of the Spirit to operate?" You know, the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of the word of wisdom, the gift of faith.
And the gift of healing.
The gift of healings and miracles.
Yes.
And I just spoke to the Lord about it. I said, "I need that. Watch this. There's a way these things work."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "It's a draw card." And I said to him, "The people will come and they start seeing miracles." Because, you know, they just need that. And so Megan and I were praying in the Spirit last night. And we prayed for an hour.
Yes.
And in that time, there we go. The Lord spoke to me so clearly. And I won't go into the details about it. But I said to Megan, okay, because she said, hey, we're going to pray in tongues now. We got to expect to hear something. Get a notepad out and a pen.
Yeah.
And she was ready. And man, I heard from God. Because I've got that relationship with him.
Mm.
You know what? He wants the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation.
Exactly.
He wants people to be healed miraculously. He wants people to have the gift of the word of knowledge and the gift of the word of wisdom. And he wants the gift of faith in operation and so forth.
Mm.
He wants those things happening in this ministry.
Mm.
He wants us to have even more testimonies than we're getting right now.
Yes.
We are so blessed. And listen, he said, do this. And I told Megan, I said, write this down. And so she wrote it down. And so we're actually so excited to see these things manifest, because we're going to slowly start moving away from online.
Yes.
And we want you guys to come to the actual service.
Yes.
And we're going to spend time. Today, the Holy Ghost just put a song in my heart, and I was just listening to the song play in my head. I love worship music. I love it. And I said, do I have that song? And I quickly went to my phone. I said, oh, yes, I do. So I quickly connected my Bluetooth speaker, and I just started playing it, and I just started singing unto the Lord. And I wanted to grab the guitar, and I couldn't find my picks. And so I know where the picks are usually. And I went to the shelf and I couldn't find it. And the things had moved around. And I said, oh, no. You know, and I'm hearing the song playing, and it's getting a bit agitating. You know, I don't want to miss out on the song. I want to play the guitar, and I want to sing to the Lord with this, you know, playing the guitar. And he said, he just showed me. He said, the picks are in your room in the corner shelf. And I was like, what? And I quickly ran there. And I was looking. I said, oh, I don't see it yet, you know. And then I found this little dish. And when I looked in, I found one of the picks there. I said, oh, okay. You know, so I took it out. It was a little bit of a hard pick because I got two of them. I got a soft one and a hard one. I was playing the hard one. And I was like, no, this doesn't feel right. And I said, but I didn't see that soft one. And the Holy Ghost said, I told you, it's on that shelf. So I went back. And I looked in that cup right at the bottom, because that pick is a little transparent because it's soft. It bends. And there it was. And I took it out and I said, oh, God, you're so good. How do you hear his voice? That comes from practicing his presence. I didn't even ask him where the picks were.
Yeah.
He just jumped in and said, hey. It's on the corner shelf in your room.
I know, but the same with me as well. When I was looking for that stuff at work today, I didn't ask him either.
Yeah.
I just went downstairs to the storeroom to go and look for these cards. And I saw it wasn't on the one shelf. And immediately I heard in the gray cupboard.
Wow.
I didn't ask him. But he knew what I was looking for. And he told me immediately, what a blessing.
What a blessing. You see, guys, Jesus said, this is the kingdom of God. We functioning in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a government. It's a supernatural government. And it functions in a very specific way. And the problem is we got so many believers out there who don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what his voice sounds like. They're not sensitive to his voice. They don't even expect him to talk.
And remember what it says in the end, eh? They're going to say, Lord, Lord,
yeah.
We preached in your name, we cast out demons and all of that. And he's going to say, get away from me. I never knew you.
Now, here's the thing. They don't even know what his voice sounds like.
Yeah.
So what happens? They hear some of our messages. We got good messages on faith, man. You want to learn about faith? You can go straight to our YouTube channel. We got an RSS channel as well. You can go and learn so much about faith. But let me tell you something. They're going to go and put those principles into practice, and they're not going to see anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? They got no faith in the one who created those laws in the first place.
Because it says faith works by love, and God is love.
But if you don't even know him, if you don't even know how to hear his voice, you see, what am I saying? I said to the Lord, how do we activate the gifts of the Spirit? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the gifts of the Spirit. There's a way to function in that. And the Apostle Paul even says, covet these gifts earnestly. Covet them. That's the one thing
you can.
Don't covet your neighbor's car. Mm-hmm. Don't covet my Range Rover. Don't covet my aeroplane.
Yes.
Don't covet my wife. Don't covet all these things. But there's one thing you can covet. You can covet the gifts of the Spirit.
Mm.
But knowing that they're there and you don't know how to appropriate them is useless.
Yeah.
You're sitting with sick people in front of you and you don't know how to get them healed. See, it's because you've never heard his voice before.
Yeah.
But he wants you to know him. Again, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, both of them. What have I learned about him? I've learned this. He's still that God who cannot tolerate sin.
Mm-hmm.
He's still that God that can consume you in a moment. What do I know? What are we talking about now? Gnosko. This is back to that. What do we know about Jesus Christ of Nazareth? We know that he's humble. We know the book of Hebrews calls him the mediator. We know that he's the buffer between God and us. We know God so loved us that he sent Jesus, so that Jesus can stand between us, and he is the one that takes the sin so that God's wrath doesn't come on us.
Mm.
Now we know how important Jesus is. Now we appreciate Jesus that much more. You can start putting a face, you can start putting a personality to the promises. When it says, by his stripes you were healed. Now you can understand what he went through. You can start putting two and two together. You start putting a personality to it. You start putting a face to it. Now you can have faith in the one who created these principles in the first place.
Mm.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Wow. It reminds me of quite a while ago, I don't know if we were doing the blessing stuff. You preached a message, not to sell.
Yeah.
It was on
the payment.
This was quite further back.
Okay.
With Jesus. That the plan was always in place. He always knew what was going to happen. And even though he knew every step of every way what was going to happen, he went ahead with that plan. He got beaten and
mocked
and everything. He got sacrificed. He went into hell. He knew that was all going to have to happen.
Yeah.
It's why he came to earth.
Yeah.
It was always part of the plan. And he did it for us. He did it because he loves his Father.
Yeah.
And I just thought, how beautiful is that? You know everything you're going to go through for a bunch of people who are probably never going to accept you.
Yeah.
And yet you do it anyway. Just so that you can bridge a gap between the Father, to correct what was made wrong. You die for them and you go to the deepest pits of hell to experience all that punishment, all of that put on you, the sins of the world, just so that you can set the people free so they can have a relationship with the Father again. And I think that is so beautiful. That is the love of the Father on such a high level. We don't even comprehend the length, the breadth, the height, and the width of the love of God that is in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, as we encourage you going forward this week, and the topic this year is to get to know Him and to get to know Jesus Christ.
Mm.
God wants you to know Him. I'm telling you something right now. There's a reward in that. Right now, I'm busy walking a man who is diagnosed with prostate cancer. And you know what? He went for his MRI. And when he got diagnosed, wow, they said to him, the cancer is aggressive. And he needs to start taking these injections immediately because they need to contain this. And then they're going to schedule an MRI and then see if it hasn't moved or anything. Immediately, they're believers, and both of them said, no, we're not taking this medicine, we're not taking this this injections and so forth. And they contacted me straight away as soon as they came back and spoke to me. So I said to them, I'm glad that you didn't touch that stuff. Glad that you didn't take that poison. And so he said, was I on the right track? Yes, you're on the right track. And so I told him, okay, I'm going to walk this journey with you. Why? Because I have experience with people getting healed.
And it's important to have people on your side who can encourage you, especially on the days when you're feeling low.
I have experience in getting people healed. I know this about God. I know this about Jesus Christ. I know this. COVID tried to come on me. It tried to come on my wife. Megan was in the same car with three other people, and that COVID, they were in a closed car, windows up, driving to work every day, Monday to Friday, and the other three people were, bad. I won't go into details. And that came on Megan, and she came and you know, tried to come on me. Man, let me tell you, I gave that COVID the hardest day in its life. It could not stick to me. It tried. It tried with Megan, and it just fell off.
Mm.
Why? We've got experience. I know Him that way, see? So I told this guy, we're going to walk you through this. Why? I know God in this area. That's the benefit of having intimacy. You can talk with authority because you have got experience. And so he went for his MRI, and they came back, and the doctor said to him, wow, he said, it's better news than I thought. He said, the cancer didn't move.
Without any treatment?
With no treatment.
No injections, nothing.
The cancer didn't move. He actually said, what was his words? He stopped short from?
From saying that it had actually shrunk.
Yeah. And so, you know, they said, well, you know, all we have to do now is, this is good news. We can schedule you for surgery. We can cut the prostate out and it's gone. And I said, come on, let's take this the whole nine yards. Because remember, it's according to faith.
Give God the opportunity to take that glory, man. Show Him off.
So this morning, I went and I met up with my neighbor again. Now watch this. Watch this. The importance of having a relationship with the Lord. The importance of intimacy. Watch this. So go there, and our usual MO is to go through healing scriptures together, and we discuss it and we pray and so forth. The Spirit of God said to me this morning, you don't start with that. This morning, I just want you to go off into a sacrifice of thanksgiving. So I did it. And before he could even talk, because I know how the anointing works. Don't talk. You can talk yourself out of it. So before he could say anything, I said, let's just give God thanks. Let's just give God thanks this morning. And he was like, oh, okay. And so that's how we started off. We gave God thanks for about 30 minutes, just thanking Him. Oh, I sensed the anointing. I sensed the anointing. I obeyed God. Again, you got to follow him. You got to follow him very carefully. The kingdom of God works, but you can't work it the way you want. See? And then after that, we opened up in scripture. So I went home afterwards. When I came in, the spirit of gratefulness and thanksgiving just came on me again. And I jumped and I shouted and I said, Lord, thank you for his healing. I got so excited. I was like, wow. And it did something to my mind where I can only see this man healed. You see what the Holy Ghost was doing? This is why we encourage you and we tell you in this life, to navigate successfully in this life, you need God.
Mm-hmm.
You need him. There's other victories I can testify as well, but for time's sake, I'm not going to. But man, I tell you what, God is so, so real, guys. And I'm so excited about this building. And when you guys come there, we're going to gather together like a family. And you're going to see him manifest right before your eyes. And he's going to become more real to you. And we want your relationship with him to become so authentic and so real this year that you start having a deeper, intimate relationship with him, because that is ultimately what he wants.
Mm.
You know what? It's not just about having you off there in the far corner. No. You mean so much to him. When I talk with certain brothers and sisters and we talk about the goodness of God, he actually tells us there's a book that he writes these thoughts down. He treasures them so much. You mean everything to him, that he's got a special book. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. It's one of his favorites. And it's got your name written in there. But what is the point when he doesn't even hear from you? What's the point? What's the point that you don't even know him? There's 10 virgins. 10 virgins. 5 of them didn't know him. The other 5 did. And he came and he fetched them. What did he say? The other 5 came back, knocked on the door. Please let us in. What did he say? Depart from me. I don't even know you. It all boils down to that. It's not about how great your faith is. It's not about you, the most fantastic intercessor out there. It's not even about the amazing messages that I can preach. You know what it's about? Do you know him? That's all that matters. Everything else is a blessing. Everything else is a bonus. But it's not number one. Number one is, does he hear from you? Do you hear from him? Don't say you know him and you can't say anything about him.
Mm.
What have you learned thus far about him? That's my challenge for you this year. What have you actually learned about him? What actually stands out about him and Jesus? What have you learned? You don't want to be a goat. You want to be a sheep. And unfortunately, our meeting has come to an end. But guys, take the time. Don't just read your Bible. Study it. As you're reading the scriptures, learn from it. Drink it up. My neighbor says, when I send him healing scriptures, he says he drinks it up. He sits at night and he meditates on them.
So he's taking it as living water.
Get to know him. Learn something about him. That's eternal life. Learn something about Jesus Christ. That's eternal life. Practice his presence. Start hearing him. He wants to talk to you. He wants to guide you in the affairs of life. He wants you to be a success. He wants to make you a success. But you're never ever going to function in that if you don't even know him. And I can pray for you, but even my prayers are not going to work, because you won't know his potential, what he's capable of. In fact, the first thing you're going to think is negativity. because you're going to think, I haven't done this, I haven't done that, and so forth. You got to get to know him. Amen?
Amen.
I hope you enjoyed this message, and I hope it opened up your eyes, and I hope it encouraged you to pick up your Bible and get to know him as a person, that you can start putting a face to these scriptures, that you can start putting a personality, a character. He reveals himself in his word. He says, I am this kind of a person. And those are things that you learn about him. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we've recorded this message and it will be available on Sunday so that you can go over and listen to it again and let it encourage you and build you up.
Yes.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only son to get you. Why? To have a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you guys enjoyed this message.
Don't be afraid to comment about it.
Yes, please let us know what you thought. Comment in the Telegram channel.
Yeah, don't be afraid to put comments down.
Yeah.
You know, shyness and meekness, well, not meekness, but shyness and that, it's actually a sign of pride, believe it or not. So let's step out and let's start being vocal. Yeah. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And Trevor and I are so encouraged when we hear from you.
We really are. We really are.
It really is just a way for us to say, hey, we paid attention. We appreciate what you're doing. We got something out of it. Because we want to know that what we're doing is helping someone. Yeah.
And so we're looking forward to reading your comments. It uplifts us. It encourages us. And so we're going to end this message now. And so remember, faith comes by hearing.
So keep on hearing. Hey everyone, if you enjoyed today's podcast, feel free to let us know by contacting us via our Telegram channel, Trevor Van Vieren Ministries, or send us a message on our Facebook account. And if you liked what our ministry is doing, why not partner up with us and sow into God's vision, which is to bring a printed copy of our newspaper to every house in our city. All funds are used to increase the print run and reach more houses with the good news of Jesus Christ. You can sow via our website at www.thedailywitness.co.za. There you will find a tab called Sow Into a Vision. If you are inside of South Africa, you can use the option of SnapScan. You can download this app free of charge from Play Store or iTunes. If you are outside of South Africa, you can use our option of Give and Gain. We thank you for your faith and generous support. Remember, we love you and Jesus loves you.